Greetings from Concordia University, Texas. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. At CTX, our students are going through a time here that they're not enjoying because fast is approaching the day of midterms. The only thing worse than midterms, then, is the, and maybe cue the ominous music here, dun, 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 finals week. Finals week. In the spirit, then, of midterms, and because this is your Concordia Sunday, I thought I would do this. I worked it out with your pastor ahead of time. We are going to administer to each of you a theological test. So if the ushers now could bring forward those papers and hand them out so the pastor and I can review them after the service. I'm just kidding. That would help. There's no theological test today. How did you feel when I mentioned the fact that you were going to be given a test? I mean, you kind of get that feeling there in your gut there, and I saw a couple people maybe almost want to get up and walk out. Not a lot of people like tests. Well, there's a couple of different ways, then, that a person might look at a test. One of them is to look at it this way, to think that the person giving the test, well, is just being mean. They're having fun at your expense. Another way to look at it is to consider maybe the story of a squirrel and an armadillo in the middle of a road as an oncoming car is heading, you know, right towards them. An armadillo, he reacts like this. Gets scared then, jumps straight up in the air, curls up into a ball, and then, well, his own actions mean his own demise. See, we can indeed get worried and over-anxious over an upcoming test. We can imagine it to be worse than it's going to be and be defeated before it even happens. As opposed to the squirrel who kind of stays put, ducks, hangs low, and just lets the car go right by and over top. And turns out, okay. What do you feel like you're being tested at times? Maybe you ask yourself, when you're in the midst of a test, some sort of trial in life, why does everything bad always happen to me? Maybe you feel like, well, as a story I once heard from another pastor, Chippy the parakeet, who one day was singing just happily in his cage, and his owner decided to clean that cage, so in using a vacuum cleaner, took off the attachment, stuck the hose inside the cage, and the phone rang. She got distracted for just a second, and then all of a sudden, in goes Chippy into the canister. Realizing what happened, she immediately goes to the vacuum cleaner there and opens it up and sees that he's covered with dirt and dust and all this soot. And she takes him then and dunks him into the sink where she was washing dishes to clean him off. Realizing that he's alive, she's thankful, but knowing now that he's drenched there and kind of in shock, she takes the hair dryer, wanting to dry him off, and blows the hot air right at him, blowing back all of his feathers. Well, a week later, she says this to a friend. Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. Just sits in his cage and stares. Maybe you feel like that with some of the events that have happened in your life, some of the trials or tests or temptations that have come your way, that you feel sucked in and washed up and maybe even blown over. Maybe you think that God is testing you just to be mean. Martin Luther writes this, God does not test in order that we may fear and hate him like a tyrant, but to the end that he may exercise and stir up faith and love in us. Satan, however, tempts for evil in order to draw you away from God and to make you distrust and blaspheme God. So why do these things happen, the things that we consider to be bad? Well, it starts with temptation, and it manifests itself into sin. As we read in the epistle of James, then, even can lead to death. Though, as Luther writes, temptation is never from God. There's a difference between a test and temptation. So, who's at fault? Well, it's true that the devil does indeed tempt us, but we do a lot of, well, temptation ourselves, don't we? If I can use it that way. I saw a t-shirt once that went like this: Lord, lead me not into temptation. I can find it all by myself. It certainly does describe us, I think. So why do these things happen? And yes, some believe that God's punishing us, but Jesus says this in Luke 13. Consider the 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were more guilty? He answers the question, no. And so maybe it is that we need to shift our mindset when it comes to trials and temptations and these tests and how we feel about them. James 1 says this: consider it pure joy, brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith develops perseverance. We are indeed promised this by God. But in the midst of all of these why me kinds of tests and trials, God is with us. We hear this from Psalm 23: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is indeed with us when we think that we're at our darkest hour. 1 Corinthians 10:13, like how it shares, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. And yet, isn't it true that we still fail the test? Our sin is proof that we all, as it says in Romans 3:23, fall short of that glory of God. And so, why is it that today we're given this account of Abraham? Why does God share Abraham's story with us in the Scriptures? That story that includes not just Abraham, but certainly a focus on Isaac as well. This man who's by God's command marched Isaac, his son, up that mountain in order to sacrifice his precious boy. I mean, imagine this. At 100 years old, he's waiting so long for this son, one who he knows to be the promise from God, the one who would be used by God to bless the whole entire nation. And God would ask him to cut off the bloodline like this? Well, we know the rest of the story. What happened was the angel of the Lord came and stopped him at the last second, because God would provide the sacrifice. Could you have passed that test? Are we given this account as an example of a man who passed the test just so that we could follow his example? So that we know that we could do it too, or that we could follow Isaac's staggering obedience? Well, truth be told, they're not as righteous as this section of Genesis seems to make them out to be. There are other sections of Scripture that kind of reveal the truth about Abraham and Isaac and their many flaws. And it's a good thing, because this section of Scripture, in fact, none of Scripture, is about Abraham, and it's not about Isaac, and it's not about you. All Scripture, and particularly this section that we read today, we read it in mind of Jesus. That's who it focuses on. That's who it leads us to. This account, then, of this "it shall be provided," and this ram, then, that's given for the sacrifice, points ahead to how it is that Jesus provides. How it is that God gave his one and only Son to provide for us so that he can be the one and only sacrifice for our sins. Just as in our gospel lesson, as we're reading here that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, just before that, John the Baptist, he looks up and he sees Jesus coming, and he says this: "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's where our focus is at. This Sunday and every Sunday and every day of the year. It's all about Jesus. That's why our account of Jesus in the wilderness is so important then. Here, he's being tempted by Satan for 40 days in the desert, and yet, he does it without sin. Now, you might be thinking to yourself this, of course it's easy then for the divine to pass this kind of test, to go unscathed through this type of temptation from the devil. But Jesus is not just divine. He's also fully human. He felt pain and desires and hungers and thirst, this weakness and vulnerability, because he's also human. And in his humanity, then, he remained steadfast, he remained faithful and obedient to his Father's will. He not only passed the test, but he got a perfect score. And in this, in baptism, we gain his righteousness. And so, today maybe consider the good that can come from being tempted, tested, going through all sorts of trials, maybe. May Jesus be revealed in your suffering. 1 Peter 6:7 says it best, "In this greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." As you're going through tough times, may Jesus Christ be revealed in the midst of it. And also what comes out of this that can be good is that in our failure, we see the need for Jesus. This tests us and shows us then how we, well, have sin and need a Savior. It's kind of like when you pull your siding away from the corner of the house and it reveals underneath that you've got this termite infestation. You know you need a professional. Well, when our sin is revealed, we know there is nowhere we can go. There is no one we can turn to, and certainly can't find the answer inside of ourselves, except then to turn to our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not a bad thing when there's nowhere we can go than to cry out to our God. Psalm 50, verse 15 says this, "Call upon me, God says, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." What a wonderful promise. I remember standing at the side of my mom's casket at her funeral, knowing that she's just entering judgment, judged on whether or not life was lived in righteousness. And yet, praise be to Christ that she wasn't judged on her own life. Instead, through faith in her Savior, Jesus' righteousness was credited to her. Genesis tells us this, that Abram had faith and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so, I have good news. You too, who are baptized in Christ, live his life, and he lives yours. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet, without sin. It's as if he took each of our tests, wrote an A+, 100%, in big, bold letters, perfect score at the top. How wonderful it is that we get to enjoy that on behalf of all that Christ has given to us. When we go through tests, temptations now, and trials, dear friends, and trust in Christ, there's no such thing as failure. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.